out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this first man, uniquely first man. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would use the principles and precepts that we're going to study and see from the Bible concerning Adam, that you will help all of us as men on this Father's Day to understand a little bit more of who we are and what God made us to be and how he made us and our purposes in life. And Lord, we celebrate this wonderful thing of fatherhood. Ask that, Lord, in a special way, this message and this entire day, Lord, will bless the Father's presence. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. On Mother's Day, I preached an entire message on a woman that I had never preached a message on. I preached a message on Eve and preached the sermon entitled Eve, the Mother of All Living. Or I titled it for our ladies, The Eve Inside of You. This morning, we're going to, on Father's Day, take a look at Adam. And there is a bit of Adam in every single man. Some things we can learn about Adam to help us as men and help us to understand. As I mentioned when I preached on the subject of Eve, I said, ladies, I'm not leaving you out. Men, I'm not leaving you out. Because if you can better understand Eve, you can better understand your wife and your daughters. I believe, ladies, today, if you'll listen, children, if you'll listen, if you can and will understand a bit about Adam, you'll understand a little more about all men, and especially your dad or your husband. And so I think this will be of benefit to everyone here. Adam, we're going to preach a subject entitled Adam, the Adam Inside of You for our men. Well, very interesting. Who was Adam? Well, the Bible tells us that he was the first man created by God. We read the scriptures there that God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Adam's name comes from a root word that means ruddy or rosy of face. So his name is synonymous also with the idea of man or mankind. Adam was the first man created by God. I want to say this too, and as far as the creation of Adam. And it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it teaches us that Adam was created separately and differently from the beast of the field. If you'll glance over to chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living soul. God had also said this, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and the beast of the field. Now, Adam was created differently than the other animals that were created, the birds and the fish and the animals on earth, because when God created mankind, he stopped what he was doing, and he had created everything else by his word. The Bible says he just spoke, and there they were. But when it came to mankind, the Bible's very specific that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now that's very important because it helps us to understand our different parts. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. God is a Trinity, a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We see in Genesis 2:7, God formed man of the dust of the earth, that's his body, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the spirit. The word breath there literally means spirit. And man became a living soul. So we see body, soul, and spirit. God formed Adam's body. Everything else he created up to this point, he created with his word. Now, I want you to think this. I want you to imagine this. Now God reaches down with his own hands and forms the first body of a man. The Bible says in a miraculous way, he touched the dust of the earth and formed it into a man's body. Then we see that God reaches down and his lips touch the lips of this first man's body and breathes God breath into him and gives him an everlasting eternal soul. He said, that's pretty neat to think that Adam was made by the very hands of God. You say, preacher, what an honor, what a privilege. I wish I was made that way. Well, you were. Jeremiah chapter 1, Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I believe the Bible teaches us that the hand of God is active in the formation and creation of every individual. By the way, God made you very unique. And you know what? He made you a one of a kind. And he made you special. And he has a special purpose for your life. And he made you for such a time as this. Sometimes I'll hear somebody say, I feel like I was just born out of time, like I should have been born 100 years ago. Well, you weren't supposed to be born 100 years ago, or you would have been born 100 years ago. And God's never made a mistake. And he's put you here for such a time as this. And so God created the body of Adam, and he breathed into Adam a spirit. The word spirit literally means breath. Once God created Adam, then he reaches down, puts divine lips to man's lips, his image, his likeness into the clay, breathes divine breath into that man. Think about that. Our spirit is the part of us that can communicate with God. This is what the Bible teaches. As we learn, it's also the part of Adam that dies when Adam and Eve commit sin, but that's back in up into chapter 3. In chapter 2, man is still a living, functioning, triune being made in the image of God, and then God gifts him a living soul. And that's something that all of us, all human beings, have in common with Adam. You know what? Our bodies were created. His body was created by God. Our bodies are formed by God. You know what? He's given us a spirit. And you know what? Adam was given a spirit. And you know what? Every man has a living soul. And that living soul is going to live or die somewhere. I mean, it's going to live eternally for somewhere. It's going to exist somewhere forever. The Bible teaches it'll exist in heaven or exist in hell. But your ever-living, never-dying soul is an eternal creation. It will never cease to exist. And that's who Adam is. And by the way, that's who we are also as men today. So we see that Adam was the first man created by God, that he was created separately and differently from the beast of the field. And just in case any of you are wondering what I'm saying, let me say it plain. You know what? You can burn the biology books, pick up the Bible. You are not a product of evolution. You didn't come from a monkey. God created you. The more we teach our young people that they're just the latest of a series of animals, the more they start acting like animals, and then we're appalled about kids acting like animals. We'll stop teaching them that they are. They're a divine, special creation of God. And so we see that that's how Adam was formed. And then Adam was given by God four things. Now think about this. I'll give them to you, all right? A place, a purpose, parameters, that means limits or rules, and a partner. That's the four things that God gave Adam. And you know what, men? I think all of us ought to look at that and say, you know what? Again, God has not changed. The law first mentioned. You can go to the book of Genesis. You can see the first mentioning of things in the Bible. And you know what? Those things are then set for the rest of the Bible. And so God created Adam with these four things. The place of God's will. Genesis 2:8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Now think about that. God didn't just create you, but he created a place for you. One of the most important things is to seek out God's will as far as where he wants you to be. There's a big old wide world out there. But you know what? God didn't just create Adam, plop him down somewhere and say, wander around till you decide you find some place you like. No, he created a man and he created a place for that man. And you know what, folks? We need to find the will of God geographically and be where we are supposed to be. He not only created a place for Adam, he created a purpose for Adam, the purpose of God's will. You say, where do you find that? Chapter 2, verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. Why? To dress it and to keep it. I want to say this to every man because sometimes we read about the curse that comes with sin in Genesis chapter 3 and people can misinterpret what the Bible says there. Once man and women sinned, the curse came upon this earth. And God said that in the sweat of our brow, we were going to earn our bread. And it talks about the thorns and the thistles. The very earth itself became cursed because of man's decision to sin. It was going to make work harder, but I want you to know this. Work is not a curse of God. The opportunity to work is a gift from God. You know what? God didn't create man and then create a hammock and say, now just go lie in that hammock and swing the rest of the time that you're there. No, he put him in a place and he said, you're to not just be in that garden, you're to dress it. Look at that word dress, it means to maintain it. That means every day he got up and went to work. Every day he went up, got up and went to work, went to work. That was before sin. That wasn't a curse. It's a gift of God. And every man, if you are honest, down deep inside of you, you're wired to do something. You're wired to put your hands on something. God didn't create us. We've got a generation of couch potatoes and a generation of young men that are allowed to spend too much time laying around on the couch playing a video game. Get up, get busy. God made you to accomplish something. Every single day as a man, you ought to get up and accomplish something positive. Something that's making a difference. Something that's making your world better. Something that's going to improve the circumstance of your family. Listen, hardworking Americans can't carry any longer an increasing number of lazy people on their backs. They're taking a third of everything we make as it is. How much more do they have to take? Listen, what we need to do is get back to the Bible and tell people, go get a job and get busy. Get busy. Go to work. That's one of the purposes God created. So he didn't only say to dress it. He said to dress it and to keep it. What does that word keep mean? That means he had protection responsibilities. That means, you know what? I'm putting you in this garden to do two things. You work and you maintain it. You keep it nice and you stay busy in this, but you also keep it. That means you walk the perimeter of it. You guard it. I tell our young men, there's some things that are just hardwired into a man. One of the things you've got to learn to do as you're transitioning from a boy to a man is understand that you have protection responsibilities. You know what? I don't care if you're with your sister somewhere. You have the protection responsibility. You're with your mom somewhere. You have the protection responsibility. Okay? That means when you get out of the car at a store, your sisters may all be playing with their phones or looking at the signs to see what's on sale. But as a man, you know what? You look at life differently. You get out of the car and you scan the environment. You look around at the situation. You look for possible things that could be dangerous. You guide your family around or away from them. And if it's unavoidable, you stand up and you're the one that meets and greets that. That's how God made man. That's how God made man, okay? And there's a little bit of Adam in all of us, gentlemen. It hasn't changed 6,000 years later. The basic parts of a human man has not changed. What God created is still there. Listen, the devil's tried to kill it off. Tried to kill it off. How's he doing that? He's turning young men to be more and more effeminate. Come on, and young ladies more and more masculine. You know, if your sister has to save you from every fight, there's something wrong with you, son, all right? There comes a time where you've got to stop hiding behind mama's skirts and get in front of mama. Come on. Come on. This is what God did. This is what God did, okay? And so the place of God's will, the purpose of God's will. And so he said, you're to go and put you in a garden to dress and to keep it. But that's not the only reason God created. In chapter 3, verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God created mankind to fellowship with him. And you know what? God didn't. Listen, God is the all-sufficient one. He's the almighty. God doesn't need us. He existed for eternity past, long before mankind was ever created, and he was just fine. Well, if he didn't need us, why did he create us? Listen to what I'm going to say. This is amazing. God did not create us because he needed us. He created us because he wanted us. And that's a big difference. You know what? God wants to have fellowship with you. The original intent and purpose for God creating man is for man to have fellowship with God and a relationship with God. Now, we're going to see that the devil came into the garden and caused man to sin and broke that fellowship and broke that relationship. But you know what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm getting ahead of myself. Yes, there's a first Adam, but the Bible also teaches us in the New Testament that there was a last Adam that was sent also, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, because God still wants to have fellowship with mankind. Think about it. How many men every single day, every day of their life, they get up, they wake up, they charge out into the world. You know what? They give no thought of God. They never speak to God. They don't give reverence or honor to God. They never pray to God. They're living their life as if they are God. That's not how God created you and what God created you to be. You need God whether you know it or not. And so God created you for fellowship. So we have the place of God's will, the purpose of God's will, the parameters of God's will. Okay, so what else did God do there in chapter 2, verse 16? The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Well, wait a minute, Adam, there is a rule. There's a rule in this garden. There's some parameters in this garden. Who set the rule? God set the rule. He's the creator, creator God. You know what? He gets to set the rules. What about all these thou shalt and thou shalt not? Well, they're always in the way, in between me and what I want to do. Listen to me, God, it did not put those barriers there to keep you from good. He kept put those barriers there to keep you from evil and the consequences of evil. Show me a man's life who's been lived walking past the parameters of God's lines, and you know what you'll find? The consequences of those sins in his life. Show a man that is willing to live within the parameters of God's rules, and I'll show you a man that lives under the spout where the glory comes out, where the blessings of God are. Listen, you aren't, sir, excuse me, you are not smarter than God, and neither am I. And when God says to the man that he created, here is the place of my will, and here is the purpose of my will, and here's the parameters. You can eat of any tree in the garden, but see that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You don't eat of that. The day that you eat it, this is what God said, the day that you eat it, ye shall surely die. Stay with me. And then God provided him a partner. Aren't you glad, men, for that? Partner for him. He said, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I said this when I preached this about Eve. I think God put Adam down in the garden, watched him for a while. Watch the dishes stack up in the sink. Watches the man. He keeps losing his keys all the time, you know. You go to the refrigerator and everything's been expired for 6 months. God shakes his head and says, it is not good for man to be alone. That man needs help. He needs help. That's what he said. So what did he do? The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh thereof, instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Notice what Adam said. This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Hasn't God been good to us men? So God not only created Adam in a very unique way, but he created him for specific purposes, gave him four very important things. Now, men, let's talk about this and just be kind of transparent with each other for a few minutes here. Let's talk about the failures of Adam. Because you know what? As we study the life of Adam, we're going to find a little bit of Adam in all of us. And Adam did fail. He failed in a huge way. And by the way, the mankind has paid consequences from it ever since. Now, we can turn around and throw rocks at Adam for making a wrong decision, but I'm going to say this. There's not a man that can stand up here today and say, I've never sinned, and I've never made a wrong choice or a bad decision. But you know what? Part of what happened in the Garden of Eden tells us why Jesus needed to come. So we can't skip over this, even on Father's Day, all right? Got to say a couple things. You know what? Adam failed in his role of protector. Adam failed in his role of protector. Now, I may be, this may be Jerry Ross's opinion on this, but can I say this? When I read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, and ladies, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, the serpent said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. Then we read, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, I'll bow to your opinion on this. If a snake comes up to you and just starts talking, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm running, okay? We had a huge activity Brother Levi Hall organized last a Friday night, and I took a group of boys over to Brother and Mrs. Dively's and helped them and watched them fish and kind of watch over there. And I did that for a while. And then what I did was I wanted to go to a different part of the pond. So I thought, well, you know what, I'll just walk here. There's a fence row across the fence, go down the gravel road, come on the back side of the pond. Well, about the place where I wanted to step over the fence where it was low enough, there was about a four and a half foot black snake on a stick that's going up, and I just about didn't see it, almost stepped on it. And I'm going to tell you something. If you talk about jump back and take a step back, and I took my fishing pole and I kind of whacked it, and boy, it curled up and started carrying on. And I thought, well, I'll shoo it away. It's going to move. And I shoot it, hit it, and the more I did, it just kept curling up and acting. And you know what I decided to do? I decided I'd rather just walk down the fence row and find another place to cross and walk down. Now, if it would have looked up and said, hey, dude, what do you think you're doing? I wouldn't have said, I don't know, what are you doing today, you know? Now, what I'm saying is this. I have a feeling this isn't the first time that snake had interacted with Eve. Now, excuse me, we can throw rocks at Eve, and Eve did make the wrong decision here. Well, folks, listen to me. Can I tell this, say this to all of us men, because it's good for us to hear it? Hey, Adam was put in charge of not just dressing the garden, but keeping it. And you know what? If that snake had been a frequent visitor and had frequent conversations with his wife, where was Adam at? Now, I want to say something, whether it's popular, politically correct, I don't care. I'm not worried about being politically correct. I'm worried about being biblically correct. Stop trying to make all the liberals happy. Get back to the Word of God. Believe what it says, okay? But Adam, that's your responsibility. Sir, that's your response. Your home and the protection of your home is your responsibility. Where's Brother Jeff Skills? We were talking about this the other day. There he is. And he said, I see a sermon coming. I see a sermon coming. I said, what? He said, the sermon's going to be, is there a snake in your garden? That's what he said. So guess what I'm going to ask next? Sir, is there a snake in your garden? Dads, husbands, is there a snake in your garden? Okay, because if there is and you're letting it hang around, that's on you. By the way, that snake might go after the weaker vessel, but it's still on you. Snakes are going to go after your kids. Hey, stop tolerating snakes in your garden. What do you mean? That means, you know what, every responsibility. Listen, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the devil. He's the one that took the form of a snake here. And the devil's still busy, and he's real. And you know what? He's trying to get into every Christian home. He wants to destroy every Christian marriage. He wants to defile every Christian young lady and defile every Christian young man and lead him down a wrong path. And guess who's got protection responsibilities? Now, sir, let me just say this. You know what? You live here, you live your life, and you know what? I respect that, the parameters of your life, parameters of my life. But you know what? This is my pulpit, and you know what? You walked in the door, so here we go. And I'll tell you right now, the whole idea that we've got a bunch of men that wake up every Sunday morning and don't take the lead in this matter of spirituality and wake their family up and get a King James Holy Bible and get the kids ready to church and march them to the car and get them into the house of God. Excuse me, sir, but you're negligent in your protection responsibilities. How in the world are those kids going to grow up with the right biblical morals and biblical outlook? How in the world are they going to grow up and even understand the difference between right and wrong? By watching what the world is teaching them? By listening to what they're being taught in the public schools? I mean, it's time for every man to stop offloading the responsibility of that home and the protection of that home and realize it's your responsibility, sir. Listen, you raise those kids outside of church, you keep them away from Bible preaching, they grow up, they die, they go to hell, they're going to stand at the judgment seat looking at you saying, Daddy! Daddy! Softball wasn't more important, was it? Come on, we've got our gods and we go to church. We all got our gods and we all go to church. Everybody's going somewhere on Sunday. And you're either leading your family towards God or away from him, sir, and it's going to come on you at the judgment seat of Christ. If those babies die without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, please listen and know that comes from a heart of love. Adam failed in this matter of his role of protector. Number two, Adam stepped outside the lines of the parameters. And you know what? The Bible says that the woman saw that the tree was good, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And again, you can blame Eve all you want. A couple things I wonder about here. Doesn't say anything about how she had to go search him down or look for him all over the garden. It says she turned around and gave it to him. I wonder if he was just kind of standing off the side watching this whole thing. Didn't speak up. Come on, men. Well, I don't want to get in a fight with my wife about this again. Is a snake getting to your wife? Then be willing to get in a fight over it. Stand up. Ladies, let your husbands lead. Let your husbands guide. They're going to have discernment in some areas you don't have discernment in. Trust them. Trust them. Okay, so speak up. Speak up. But you know what Adam did? He did not only not try to protect his wife and keep her from doing it. He joined it. And you know what? He stepped outside of the parameters. God gave him the rules, didn't give Eve the rules, gave him the rules. And he knew where the line was. And he knew they weren't supposed to eat of that fruit. And he let her do it, and he did it himself. And he stepped down. You know what that's called, folks? When God says, don't do something, and we do it, that's called sin. The Bible says that sin is the transgression of the law, or a law. Which means when God passes a law and man chooses to break it, you can say, well, everybody's doing it. Doesn't matter. It's still sin. Well, this is 2020. Well, thank you, because I didn't have a calendar. But it's still sin. It's still sin. If it was sin 100 years ago, it's sin today. But you don't understand. The culture's changed. It's still a sin. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. If the Bible said it was wrong 200 years ago, it's still wrong today. Listen, God is not going to change because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Of course, people's lost their minds, or they've decided to try to make good evil and evil good. God doesn't follow down that path. So Adam stepped out the lines, the parameter, outside the lines of the parameters, and God, as a result, Adam lost the place of God's original will for his life. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, folks, listen to me. When I say that there's a little Adam inside of all of us, listen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the same sin, the same disobedience that we find in Adam and Eve, we can look in the mirror and find in ourselves. Now mankind's in trouble. Okay? A holy God created a perfect world, paradise, created man in innocency, gave him one rule, and man and woman both decided to break that rule. Now sin has entered into the world. Well, it was the snake. The snake didn't put a gun to their head. There's always, young people, listen to what I'm going to say. There's always going to be enticers. There's always going to be somebody that's trying to talk you into doing something you should not do, that you know God says not to do. There's always going to be enticers. That's what that snake was. Some of you ought to take a look at your phone and go down through the text and start blocking people that are constantly trying to get you to say and do things you shouldn't say or do. They're not your friend. Well, they're my friends. You don't even know what a friend is. If they were a friend, they'd be reinforcing the right things in your life. They'd be pointing you in a positive direction. They'd be encouraging you to do the right things, not tempting you to do the wrong things. Break those associations. And you know what? If even Adam and Eve would have looked at that serpent and said, listen, we can either believe you or we can believe God, and we choose to believe God. Hey, we'd still be living in paradise today. What do you think about that? But that's not what happened. So now mankind's in a mess. And God looks down and he says, wow, wow, I love them. And I don't need them, but I want them. But I am a holy God, and I have heaven's a perfect place, and I can't allow sin in it. So now we've got this thing between mankind and God because of the decision of the first Adam. But then later on in the New Testament, the Bible tells us about the last Adam. Something else that God did for the very first time. Now think about this. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by one man came death, that's Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now this is fantastic. You see, what God did was he created Adam, first of all, and Adam was, listen, we talked about Eve not having a mother. The first mother, the mother of living, never had a mother. I can't say that Adam never had a father because he did. He was the son of God. If you go back to the lineage of Jacob or Joseph in Luke chapter number 1, and it runs from Joseph all the way back into the lineage. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 1. It runs from Joseph all the way back to the lineage. The last few words in the lineage of Adam, it says, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the little s, son of God. Son of God. Isn't that something? Adam had a father. Eve didn't have a mother, but Adam had a father. His father was God. He was the son of God. Think about that. Well, guess what? Little s, son of God, that's Adam. But you know what? We sinned. So God looked at his divine son, the capital S, son of God, Jesus, a member of the Trinity. And you know what they said? You know what they came up with? The most wonderful plan anybody's ever come up with. They sat down, they said, how do we reclaim man? We want them. We don't need them. We want them. We love them. How do we reclaim them? And Jesus said, well, the wages of sin is death, right? Yep, that's what I said. The day that you eat, you should surely die. Okay, the wages of sin is death. So what if somebody paid off their debt for them? It'd have to be somebody that didn't have their own sin. Right. Listen, when I die, I'll die because of my sin. When you die, you'll die because of your sin. Listen to me. When Jesus died on the cross, he had no sin. Jesus came down. You know, think about this. Both of them's father was God. But the first Adam fell into sin. The second Adam came, and by the way, he was thrust into the wilderness 40 days tempted the devil, yet without sin. He lived a perfect life. He was God the Son and the Son of God. And when he died on that cross, you know what? The sins of all mankind, all of us Adams and descendants of Adams and our wives and our children, the sins of all mankind was placed on Jesus that day. Jesus was not killed. He gave his life freely. He offered his life a sacrifice for all. Think about that. Think about that. Wherefore is by one man, Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, that was Adam, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. But you know what? The Bible says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. Aren't you so glad that Jesus came? You know what? Adam didn't have an earthly father. He just had a heavenly father. You know what? Jesus didn't have an earthly father. He just had a heavenly father. Remember, he was born of a virgin. He was a miracle child placed in the womb of his mother by the Holy Spirit of God. Bible says, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, Word, speaking of Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Goes on to say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, even as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the difference, preacher, between the first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam, you know what he did? He broke the laws of God and sin. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, was sent, and he lived a perfect life, died on the cross for my sins. I say this most Father's Day, but I want to say it plainly, and I want to just testify. Can I just obey the Bible when it says, honor thy father and thy mother? Can I just obey that for a minute? Someone asked me once, what's the greatest thing your dad ever did for you? What's the greatest thing he ever did for you? I don't even have to hesitate. I know exactly what it is. There's nothing that compares to it. The greatest thing my dad ever did to me, or for me, was the day that he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. See, I was born into a family that didn't go to church. And I was born into a family that was not saved, never received Christ as their Savior. But my dad and mom, we moved from Greencastle over to Brazil, Indiana, crossed the streets from some neighbors, began to invite us to church. My mom and dad went to church. On the last night of a revival meeting, my dad walked the aisle and received Christ as his Savior. Changed the entire dynamics of our family. Changed him. Because you know what? Now all of a sudden that sin, watch this, that was a barrier between him and God, that sin that was going to doom him to a devil's hell, because he was willing to receive what Jesus Christ had done for him, now that sin was forgiven and washed away and put under the blood. The Bible says, as far as the east is far the west, so is our sin separated from us. buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. How about that? And my daddy got saved. And you know what? He brought Jesus Christ into our home. And it wasn't too long after he got saved, Mom got saved. You know what? As us kids grew up and got old enough to understand, you know what? Each of us got saved. We just had vacation Bible school. Jacob got saved at vacation Bible school. You know what? Ever since Jesus died on the cross, the message is being preached and people are told that their sins can be forgiven. But folks, listen, when Jesus died on the cross, was buried and rose again, he purchased for us, the Bible says, the gift of eternal life. And he holds it out to mankind. But you know what? He can hold it out for your entire life. And you can either reject it or neglect to do anything about it and die. If you choose to, die and pay for your own sins in a devil's hell. But every single person that's willing to humble their heart, turn around. What's wrong with it? Why are we so full of pride? We can't look in the mirror, look in the Bible and realize what a mess we are. You know, we're all sinners. We walk around in our haughtiness, want to talk about our good works and our righteousness and all of that nonsense. If you in your righteousness stood before a holy God, or me in my righteousness today stood before a holy God, I'm going to tell you, our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags compared to the perfectness and holiness of God. If we don't go through Jesus, we're not going to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I'm just good enough to get there on my own. All right, good luck to you. But God's not making an exception for you because of your haughtiness and your pride and your self-righteousness. Sir, excuse me, ma'am, you're telling me you have no sin in your life? Well, who's going to take care of that sin? Well, I'll just do enough good to make up for it. Well, you can do all the good in the world and the sin's still there. Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to cover it? Who's going to wash it? Did Jesus come for nothing? No, he came because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Last Friday night, we told the same story I'm telling now. Two teenage boys prayed and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Had vacation Bible school last week. 16 young people received Christ as their Savior. Vacation Bible school. A mom that's going to be baptized this morning. You know what? Her daughter got saved on Monday night. She came on Tuesday night, sat in the back, said, I'm going to find out what happened to my daughter. Listened to the preaching. After the service, went and talked to my wife. My wife took the Bible and showed her what Jesus had done for her. She bowed her head and got saved. Folks, listen, God's saving people all the time. But he's not going to make you. He's not going to make you. He's holding it out. Hey, he got you here today. And he's holding it out, giving you one more opportunity if you've never been saved. I beg you, I plead with you. If the Holy Spirit of God's working in your heart, don't ignore that. If God is drawing you, don't ignore it. Because God loves you. And he sent Jesus to pay for your sins. Best day of my life. Best day of my life. This is the day that I walked into a church lost. Heard the Bible preached. Fell under conviction. Came forward. Knelt at the altar with the preacher. He opened his Bible, showed me John 3:16. For whosoever shall, by the way, this verse, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bowed my head and said, Lord, I'm just a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But this book tells me you died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. And Jesus, that you loved me and that you bought and paid for my sins and I can have eternal life, please, Lord, save me. Just save me. And you know what? But as many as received him, John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Before we pray with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I've tried the best I can, preach the gospel and tell you how to be saved. What I can't do is a miraculous work, something that only God can do in the heart of someone. And that speak to their heart during a message. Say, preacher, something's been going on inside of me. I've tried to push it away. I've tried to ignore it. Would you just listen instead to the voice of God for a minute? Instead of trying to get your mind on everything and anything else because you want what's going on just to go away. Would you just listen to God's voice? He loves you. He didn't have to send Jesus to die for us.
He sent his son. Think about this on Father's Day. How many of you men would send your son knowing he was going to have to die for somebody you didn't even know? That's what God did. He sent Jesus. On this Father's Day, he sent his son. Jesus paid the price for all of our sins. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, just a minute, we're going to stand. Not yet, but just a minute, we're going to stand. Have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Piano player's going to play. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to step out to the nearest aisle, come forward. Our assistant pastor, Brother Gordon's here. If you're a lady, he'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, we'll have a man take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But boy, if God's speaking to your heart, don't miss this opportunity. Heavenly Father, work in our hearts, Lord, please. Thank you for these two wonderful, unique individuals. Mother's Day, we got to take a look at Eve and what a blessing she was to us, and now Adam. Lord, we understand ourselves better as we understand Adam, your purposes, your plan. Also, Lord, our need for that last Adam, Jesus Christ, who came to die on the cross for our sins. Bless the invitation, Lord. Work in hearts, we pray in Jesus' name.